Welcome to the Watoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we explore scripture and delve into the Word of God.
We serve a God of miracles. That's the God we serve. And if you were here today and you are needing a miracle, what was being declared through worship is not for your neighbor, it's for you. You gotta believe it, because that's the God we serve. Well, I greet you all in Jesus' name, those of you who are in the room, those of us who are watching online, on air, listening, you are welcome in our service today here at Watoto Church, where we celebrate Christ and we care for community. Now, 2 weeks from now, something beautiful is happening. We are going to celebrate 40 years of God's goodness. Come on! Watoto Church, God has been good. Now, I mean, it's a five-day celebration from the 20th to the 25th of June. We are celebrating the way they used to do it, Jewish style. 7 days of eating and dancing and enjoying, because God has been good. And I mean, as we're thinking about this, you're thinking, is this 40 years? Should we be focusing on what the next 40? We will. There'll be a time for that. But we sense God wants us to stop, take a pause, look back, and give thanks. That's what it's about. So big 40 is that you have to be a part of it. And you know, we've just sung miracle after miracle. That's the story of Watoto. And our founders, Pastor Gary and Marilyn, have taken time to put together some of those incredible miracles on the journey of Watoto. So the book is out, and in celebrating what God has done, we are going to launch the book on the 20th. Right here. But don't wait for the launch. You can get yourself a copy. You can pre-order for a copy right now. I've already pre-ordered for mine. A memoir of courage over fear, where faith lit the way. You will be encouraged. I've already seen some. This is a sample. Don't come for this one here. Yours is a real deal. So pre-order and make sure you get yourself a copy. You can buy for a friend, because this is going to encourage faith. But we will be having an event here to launch it on the 20th, Thursday in the evening. And then on Friday 21st, we are back here to celebrate 30 years of caring for the vulnerable. Children and mothers, it's going to be a great celebration, walking through what God has done. Saturday, the 22nd, that is shopping day. Tell everybody, shopping day. You are going to buy your best clothes, but also you're going to buy food. Okay? That day you are going to cook. What is Thanksgiving without food? So go shop. If they ask you, why are you shopping? Is it Christmas? Tell them, no, big 40. Because on the Sunday 23rd, all roads lead to Kololo. And we are going to give thanks in a big way the whole day. We start with a worship service, and then we're going to break out for lunch in small groups with your cell and invite friends. Bring your friends to be a part of this. They will hear the story of God's goodness, and they will begin to be drawn to God. So that's why you need to cook on Saturday, so that on Sunday you're just ready to party. And we define the party. Okay, we are going to do that. Then in the afternoon, after we've eaten, we need to burn the calories. We're going to have a big praise jam there. Launch our album that has been, recorded. And we're going to be joined by our friends from the U.S. Bethany Worship. It's going to be amazing. Big party to celebrate what God has done. 40 years, God has been good. Amen. All right, let's get into God's word. Father, we are so grateful for what you have done. And today, as we launch into our vision series, continue to speak to us, inspire us, I pray, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Now, one morning I received a phone call, and the gentleman on the other side introduced himself and said, "Hey, I am your OB," meaning we went to the same school. And he introduced, he said, "I'm so-and-so. Do you remember me?" Of course, I can't remember everyone I went to school with. So I said, I don't. But yeah, so tell me. He says, "Yeah, Pastor, so good. How are things I've been seeing? What's going on at Watoto?" And he was really quite happy about the things happening. And he knew a little bit about me. And then he says, "You know, Pastor, I've been working for this company and we are the ones drilling oil. And so there's an equipment, a special equipment that we needed to continue with the work. And, you know, I've ordered for it and it's coming. But I have a shortfall of cash," and he gave me a certain amount of money that he needed. And he said to me, the guy bringing it, because they have to bring it in by air, is delivering it at the airport. We shall meet at this place. You know, once you give me that top up, once we pay him, the company is going to pay more, and then I'll give you a cut off of that." Anybody received calls like that? And they come in all forms. But have you also received a phone call and you're like, "Should I really pick this call here?" But you know, there's a call that supersedes the scams and all of those that you feel are, "Oh, this is a burden." God's call. Nothing can come close to God's call. And as we begin this vision series, today I want to talk about God's call. Because the Watoto Church story is the story of God's call. Now please understand, when it comes to God's call, what really matters is our response. Yep. Our obedience. And God has called every single one of us who is here today and watching online. You have a call of God on your life. You are not created just to occupy space. You are created with a purpose, and that purpose is captured in God's call. And God's call looks different for every single one of us. Because sometimes I know when we talk about God's call, it looks like the only people who are called are pastors. That's a lie from the pit of hell. God calls us to different places. In the marketplace, business people, teachers, he calls us. And here's the thing. When you respond to God's call, you are launched into your divine destiny. That's why God's call is so important, my friends. It will completely turn your life around and put it on the path of God's journey. That's what it does. When you think about the Bible, you think about people like Noah. Noah was living his life. God says, "Noah, I want you to build an ark." Noah had never gone to Makerere for engineering school. God said, "I want you to build an ark." Because what? Preparing for a flood that was coming. Please understand, when God calls you to do something, he's always doing it in relationship to a future. God's call is not so much about your past, it's about your future. And so, he instructs no one how to build an ark. And there's another thing about God's call. When God calls you, he will continue to give you instructions on what should be done when. And he gave the instructions, Noah built the ark. Abraham, God said, "Hey, leave your people who are worshiping foreign gods. Go to a place I'll show you there. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make your name great. Through you, the peoples of the earth will be blessed. Whoever tries to attack you, I will attack. And whoever blesses you, I will bless." Abraham responded. He walked a journey of faith to where God had told him to go. God's call. Moses, God's call to go back to his place of fear And he was saying, that's where you're going to do the deliverance of my people. David was called to be king of Israel, but it took a number of years before he actually became king. That simply means this. When God puts a call on your life, sometimes there are delays. Sometimes there are people who are fighting your call. But at the right time, that call will come to pass. David was running. He was afraid. But at the right time. Greatest king of Israel. It was the call of God. Esther won a beauty pageant, became the queen. And she wasn't there just to be queen. There was a call of God on her life for such a time as that in order to rescue the entire Israel population from a genocide. That's why she was there. It was a call of God. Mary! Going about her life and the angel comes. The call of God comes. You are going to carry child who would be the savior of the whole world. What was Mary's response? Be it to me according to your the response. Jesus called disciples. He would simply come and say, follow me. Those two words were so powerful. Peter dropped his nets and followed the call of God. Those fishermen and the so-called scum of that day, they were not the most serious people, ended up changing the world. God's call. Paul persecuted the church. On his way to persecute believers, gets intercepted. Jesus says, why are you persecuting me? When you persecute the church, you were persecuting me. And the persecutor of churches responds to the call of God and he becomes a radical planter of churches. Let me tell you what that says. You are not too bad for God's call to disrupt your life onto the right path. God's call is amazing. You are called as an individual. God has a call for you as a family. God has a call for you as a business. God has a call for you as a company. Whatever it is, he has a call. He has a call for us as a nation, by the way. God has a call for us as a continent. And God has a call for us as a church. There is individual call. There is corporate call. And I want to talk about our call as Watoto Church and just walk through our journey. And as I share some of that so that we really appreciate the importance of recognizing God's call on Watoto, because Watoto Church is not man's idea, it's God's idea. 40 years, it's amazing. Here's what Jesus says about the church in Matthew 16. Jesus says, I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. When it comes to the church, nothing will stop the church of Jesus Christ. Not even the gates of hell shall stop God's call for his church. And who is the builder of the church? Jesus. In Matthew 28, Jesus says to his disciples, he came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Listen to me. Jesus, the builder of the church, has all authority in heaven and on earth. We owe no one an apology for being the church of Jesus Christ. And then he says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. That's so amazing. All-powerful Jesus says, follow my call to go and make disciples, but you're not going alone. I am with you. When you respond to God's call, here's what happens. God will back up everything he plans to do. And he will be with you. He'll stick with you. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, He was speaking, this is Jesus again, to the disciples after he rose from the grave. He says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you are going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. What was Jesus saying? You cannot fulfill the call of God on your life in your own strength. You need the power of the Holy Spirit. God's call cannot be accomplished in human strength. It's through Holy Spirit power that God's call is accomplished. So please understand, when God calls you, the task is usually bigger than you, or always bigger than you. And you need the Holy Spirit. This is not just for church. It's for you. As a business, you need to be a spirit-filled and empowered businessman and woman to thrive through the business environment. As a teacher, as a doctor, wherever you are. Listen, as a parent, you need to be spirit-empowered to raise your kids. As a husband, as a wife, you cannot accomplish God's call in your own strength. That's our story as Watoto. It's a story of God's call. God called Gary and Marilyn to come to Uganda and plant what is now Watoto Church. I want you to hear for yourselves what Gary talks about the beginnings of Watoto. Let's watch this video on the screen.
It was tough. Zambia was tough. It was tough because that was Marilyn's first trip to Africa. Zambia, in many ways, was not as tough as Uganda, but they were petty thieves, and we were broken into more times than we can remember. And it was while we were in Zambia that God very clearly said to me, Gary, Kampala, downtown English-speaking church. Over the years we've been in Africa, we've lost count of the number of times we've been broken into, and when I got to Uganda, they didn't come with lollipops, they came with machine guns.
Hi, everybody. Don't you wish you were here? Eat your hearts out.
I did not want to move to Uganda. God and I had several conversations about us coming to Uganda, and they weren't nice conversations on my part. I had just watched many nuns that had been tied up at Clock Tower, and they'd been raped, and they were put before a firing squad. I'm like, God, I'm going to be killed. I'm going to be raped. My children aren't going to be safe there. God, I don't want to go to Uganda. I remember sitting, playing the piano at the church where we were having this missionary meeting, and tears rolling down my face and saying, kind of like Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, God, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. But then my mind immediately went back to when I was 9 years old and saying, Jesus, I'll be useful to you no matter what the cost is. I remember singing a song, actually, and it said, Jesus, use me, and oh, Lord, don't refuse me, because surely there's a work that I can do, and even though it's humble, Lord, help my will to crumble. Though the cost be great, I'll work for you. And it was at that moment that I said, Jesus, if it costs me my life, I'm going to take the things that are dearest. I'm going to take the things that are best, whether it's plans or people. And Lord, I'm going to kiss them goodbye.
Though the cost be great, I'll work for you. Work for you.
Watoto Church wasn't just started because somebody wanted to do a church. It was a response to God's call. And I'm so thankful that Pastors Gary and Marilyn took that first step and came to Uganda. You know, sometimes what really matters is that first step of obedience. Here's what Zechariah says in chapter 4. He says, do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. So when God calls you, like he called Gary and Marilyn to come to Uganda, I mean, it wasn't the best of places. Because sometimes God calls you to the impossible places. That's what it was like. But they took the first step. Look what God has done. Look what God has done. And he made it clear, plant an English-speaking church. And I was chatting with one of the pastors in this city who was there when Gary and was beginning the church. And before Gary started what was Kampala Pentecostal Church, he chatted with some of the pastors because he was coming to join in the work of God here in the city. And as he chatted with them, this particular pastor was one of those he chatted with. And Gary shared with them, you know, God has called us to plant an English-speaking church downtown Kampala. Pastor said, you cannot succeed with an English-speaking church. English only in the city? No. You know what the pastor told me? I was wrong. Because now I see what God has done. When you follow God's call without compromise, God will do what he says he's going to do. And that's what it was. English speaking, simply obey. Reach young people. Go to schools. Go to the schools and reach the kids, reach the youth. Many young people are coming to KPC then. And then they started calling KPC a young people's church in a derogatory way. That's a church where youth go. It's not a real church. When you're a visionary, children don't remain children, youth don't remain youth. And when you disciple them, they become sons and daughters in the house. Look at how many sons and daughters have been raised here. Following God's call. Begin to do creative events to win the lost. Because as we're Total Church, we have a heart for those who don't know Jesus. And so Gary and Marilyn are thinking creative ways. And one of them was to do events that attract people to the church. And so Heaven's Gates and Hell's Flames. I came as a 10-year-old to the church. That's when I gave my heart to Jesus. Heaven's Gates and Hell's Flames. And there are many of us, cantatas. We do cantatas because at the end of the year, people are doing all these big events to party away. We do a big event because the reason for the season is Jesus. And we do that and people come and they give their hearts to Jesus. By the way, how many of you here at one of our events, it could have been a camp, wherever, church services, you gave your heart to Jesus here at Watoto. Let me see your hands. Look at this, friends. Come on, let's celebrate God. Because we have a heart for the lost. But also, God called us as a church, spoke to Gary and Marilyn, I want you to take care of the vulnerable. That's a call from God. That was the birth of Watoto Child Care Ministries. We are not a church doing social work. We are a church following the heart of God. Because if you are close to God's heart, there is no way you won't feel the heart of God for the vulnerable. Here's what James 1:27 says. It says, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. God's heart is so close to the orphans and the widow. And we followed God's call as Watoto to do that. The birth of Watoto Child Care Ministries. Psalm 68 says this, God is a father to the fatherless. He's a defender of widows. This is God whose dwelling is holy. He blesses the lonely in family. Watoto Child Care Ministries is not an orphanage. It's a community of families that God is building where he blesses the orphan into a family. That's what he does. And God made it clear to Gary and Marilyn, we're not just to rescue them, we are to raise them to be leaders like you saw today who will rebuild the nation. God's call. God's call. That's why we are passionate about it. It's God's call. And then God called us to be a cell-based community church. That was a call from God. Cell-based. In fact, when God called us to become a cell-based community church, Pastor Gary spent a whole year teaching about cell so that the church understands it and not just become a program-based church. We were large in numbers. But God wanted us to go into the community through our small groups. And these small groups were not just meant to be small fellowships. No, they were going to be little units of transformation where you do fellowship but engage the community. And it's a biblical thing. Acts chapter 2 says this. Verse 42 to 47. They devoted themselves, these are the believers, to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Now, what were they doing? They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. This wasn't happening in just the grand. It was also happening in the small groups. And then it says every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts, large gatherings. They broke bread in their, where? Homes. They met in homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And then it says, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Our small groups exist to ensure that every single one of us here today can experience meaningful relationships. You can grow spiritually in the small group. Your leadership gifts can begin to unfold in a small group setting because everyone gets a chance to be a leader there. And of course, for community engagement and impact. That's a small group. What we just read happened for us as Watoto. Because then I was a teenager here. And those days we would come to church because, I mean, it was, we said, God has spoken, become cell-based. We used to sit in our geographical regions. Mine, we used to sit up. And so you'd come to church and the usher would ask you, where do you live? I live here. They show you where to sit. So that you meet people in your community and become the light in that community. Through cell. And I joined cell. I mean, it was fantastic. And then we began to do community projects. Let me tell you the impact of community projects, seed projects. When I was pastoring Weyogerere, there was a community that had a water well that was serving there, a number of people, but it wasn't good. And so we felt God lead us, let's restore that well and build it nice. In fact, not built, it was just a natural spring. And did test, got people in the congregation. Amazing. When people come together, I got engineers. I said, engineers, design the best well so that when children and mothers are coming, they don't slip and fall. Provide different, you know, positions where they can fetch water so they're not all scrambling for just one source. And then there were some water engineers. They did tests of the water to make sure it was clean and usable for human consumption. This was in church. And we said to do that. And then people came together and gave. And the community said, oh, that well serves us as well. They gave, they participated. And we did a beautiful, it was a beautiful well. And we launched it that day. The local leadership was present. And they thanked us. And then they said, but we are thanking you. But we know that many people have been part of this. You're only a few. Can you give us a chance to come to church to thank the people of KPC then? I said, of course. And on a Sunday, they came, and the lady was wearing her thing, but she came to church. And she was there, and we gave her a chance, said, hey guys, we showed pictures, and then she came, she knelt down, and in Luganda she said, Aba KPC, Mwebale. Translated, family, church family, thank you for loving us. Thank you. God's call always has a purpose that's connected to people being saved. After the church service, I was talking to her. She said to me, this is the church I would love my daughter to attend. We experience so much growth through cell. And those days, because we would come and do vision accountability, is not something we've started, has always been there. We would grow 20, 30% through cell. God's call. Numbers, people began to, we began to grow. One location became small. Because people were coming to church. And so God began to speak to the leadership. It's time for us to multiply campuses. The cells were growing. And so God spoke to the leadership. Take the celebration experience closer to community. And so the leadership sat and said, how do we respond to this call? They zoned out. Pastor Gary and the team and the deacons brought city strategies, zoned out the city and said, let's divide the city into 5 major areas, north, south, east, west, and central. So we zoned out those places and began to pray, God, what do we do now? Buy properties. So we got Ntinda location, Lubowa location. When we were buying those locations, they seemed very far. But we were following God's call. Now people see the locations we have and they say, but Watoto, you are connected. Yes, we are connected. We hear God's word and we follow his call. We do that. Now we have prime locations that are worship areas. God's call. Going up, Northern Uganda, it was God who called us. As KPC then, we were only in the city. And God says, now it's time for you to go up north. When Pastor Marilyn got up to Gulu, she thought we were going to go and rescue our former child soldiers and bring them down to Kampala and raise them to be leaders. But when she got there, God said, no, I want you to plant a church here. And listen to me, my friends. Gulu was not on our strategic plan. It was not even on the budget. But God said, I want you to go to Gulu now. When God calls you to do something, it doesn't depend on your budget. And God provided, today we have a prime location in the center of Gulu that is worshiping Jesus. It's for his glory. And a church there, we did trauma rehab. Then we go to find out what's going on in the community. Girls were dropping out of school. God told us to start keep a girl in school to rescue girls who are being robbed of their destiny because of puberty. That's not right. So we respond, thousands of girls. Man, I could tell you more stories, but let me begin to land the plane in some of these things God has called us to. Now, when we were celebrating 25 years of Watoto, KPC then, God began to nudge Gary and say, it's time for you to rebrand. That's what God called us to do. At that point, KPC was a brand. Every KPC, it was a brand. When God said, now I need you to rebrand and change name, it was not an easy journey. But we followed God's call. And God gave us the name Watoto. And we became Watoto Church. God is smart. Because you see, when we planted Gulu, it was KPC Gulu. Kampala Pentecostal Church, Gulu. God knew that name would not be sustained for the future God had for us. Now, how do you go to Juba and say we are Kampala Pentecostal Church, Juba? No, no, no. God is so smart. He knows the end from the beginning. And so when he gave us the name Watoto, some people didn't understand, but we followed God's call. Look at what God has done. Watoto Church, Mbarara, in Jinja. And we keep going. God is amazing. And then he called us to raise leaders, School of Community Leadership, Watoto 360. All of those are God's call to do schools, Watoto Neighborhood. Listen, the Watoto story is the story of God's call being responded to first by our founders and then continually responding to whatever God was calling us to do. And here we are today. See what God has done in response to his call. I'll end with this. Isaiah. And Pastor Brian, get ready to come. Isaiah 6 and verse 8. This is Isaiah. And he says, then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And I said, here I am. Send me. Watoto family, when it comes to God's call, let our posture always be, here I am, send me. God bless you.
Ototo Church, let's clap our hands and thank God for His word. What a word. That is God's call for us. I want us to take a moment. We're going to respond because the question is, what are we going to do with what we've had? God is calling us. God is calling you. God is calling this generation to play our part. And our attitude is, here I am. Send me. Let's bow our heads together right now. And I want you to close your eyes and I want you to just reflect on what you've had. God's call upon us. I want you to know, my brother and my sister, that God has a part for you to play and your part is so critical. God has planted you here because He wants you to be a part of this vision. God wants you to make a contribution. God wants you to find your place and play your part. So I want you to just, as you reflect, I want you to take 30 seconds. And here's the prayer we're going to pray. We're going to be like Isaiah. And I want you as an individual, just commit yourself to the vision in prayer and just say, Lord, you can count on me. You can use me. Come on, just go ahead and just in your own words, just begin to pray and make your commitment to this house and this vision that God has given to us. Each of us, let's take time now and let us pray. Jesus, you have called us. And you're saying, Watoto family, it's been 40 years. But now I'm calling you into the future to carry this work that I have given to you. Lord, we hear your voice. And today as a church family, we're saying, here we are, send us, Lord. We are ready. We will go to the broken and the helpless. We will go to the cities and the nations. We will reach the next generation for you. We will embrace those who are hurting. We will act justly and we will love mercy, oh God. Use us. We're standing on the shoulders of a generation that said yes to you. And now it's our turn. Lord, we say, send us, Lord. And I pray that every year we will stand here in amazement and say, look what our God has done. We've heard of your fame. We stand in all of your deeds. Repeat them in our day, God. That is our prayer. We want to continue in this moment of reflection. So I'm going to encourage you to still bow your head and close your eyes. You know, friends, there is a call that God has made to everyone that is alive. It is a call to turn your back on sin and a life of rebellion and disobedience to God. To turn away from that. And to surrender your life to Jesus so that your sin will be forgiven, so that you will become a child of God. This call is to every single one of us because we have all sinned against God. But God is so gracious that He didn't leave us in our sin. He sent His Son Jesus to die and pay the punishment for sin so that we could be forgiven. And when you turn away from sin and ask Jesus to forgive you, He will forgive you. The old will be gone and the new will come. And then you'll step into a life of meaning and purpose that is only found in Jesus. Would you say yes to Jesus today? Make him your Lord and Savior. Right here, right now. With every head bowed, every eye closed, you say, Brian, that's me. I'm living in sin. But today I want to receive the forgiveness of Jesus. And I want to be born again. I want to be a child of God. Upstairs, downstairs, here in person, if that's you, lift up your hand to Jesus, because he's the only one who saves. Just lift up your hand and say, Jesus, here is my life. Forgive me. Save me. Change me. When I was 14, I lifted my hand in a service like this, and Jesus forgave me, and my life changed. He wants to do the same for you today. You say, Jesus, here I am. Forgive me of my sin. Lift up your hand. Do it right now. You might feel afraid. You're on the fence. You're saying, should I? Shouldn't I? Do it. Go ahead. Give your life to Jesus. Surrender to him. You're joining us online as well. You say, Pastor Brian, today is my day of salvation. I want to walk away from this life of sin. I surrender my life to Jesus. Do it right now. Do it right now. Lift up an emoji of a hand in the chat section and type, I surrender my life to Jesus. Do it right now. Do it right now. Here in person. You say, Brian, that's me. Just lift up your hand to Jesus. Only Jesus saves. Only Jesus saves. And he's going to save you right here, right now. Some of you are saying, Brian, I want to recommit my life to Jesus. I had lost my way. But enough is enough. I'm coming back to Jesus. You're recommitting your life to Jesus? Lift up your hand as well. Jesus will never push you away. Come back to him today. Recommit your life to him. Leave sin behind you. Don't be afraid and don't be ashamed. It doesn't matter what people say. What matters is that Jesus loves you. Surrender your life to him. You're recommitting your life? Lift up your hand. Jesus loves you. Jesus cares about you. Thank you. Jesus sees those hands. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else who say, that's me, Brian, lift up your hand. You're joining us online. You're recommitting your life. You're making a fresh commitment to Jesus. Lift up your hand. An emoji of a hand in the chat section and say, Jesus, I recommit myself to you. I recommit my life. It's the very last call. Is there anybody else? You say, Brian, that's me. I recommit my life to Jesus. Lift up your hand. I want to thank you for lifting up your hand. Now here's what we're going to do. I want you to pray this prayer after me and mean it from the bottom of your heart. By praying this prayer, you are saying yes to Jesus. Church, now let's all pray together and encourage our brothers and sisters praying this prayer right now. As loud as we can, everyone saying, Dear Jesus, thank you for loving me. I recognize that I am a sinner and I need a Savior. Jesus, you are the only Savior. Today, I am asking you to forgive me of all my sin. Wash me clean in your precious blood. Give me a brand new life. Jesus, I now receive you as my Lord and my Savior. And from this day, I believe that I'm born again, that I'm a child of God. I will live for you and I will follow you for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, come on, let everybody say amen, amen, amen. Let's celebrate every miracle of salvation. Thank you for praying that prayer. Welcome to the family of God here in person. Thank you for praying that prayer online. Thank you for praying that prayer. I'm going to hand you over to Pastor Zen, our online family, who's going to share with you some next steps. What other family? Let's celebrate one more time every miracle of salvation in Jesus' name. Amazing.
Thank you for listening. We hope this encourages you to step into the new. Tune in next time as we delve into the Word of God. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@watotochurch.com. Hey, hey, hey.